Be of good cheer. That was the sermon title scheduled, and that's the sermon that you're going to get, maybe. Can it be accidental that in your order of service, the world is turned upside down? Are there truly accidents when hymn number 100, I've got peace like a river, is preceded by hymn number 99? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. The world is turned upside down. A nation is rent asunder, divided against itself. The religious versus the secular. The mullahs restricting information, restricting what it is that people are allowed to learn in school. There's an irrational movement against science, except insofar as that science can be applied to the building of weapons and building of systems to control people. The light of the Enlightenment is being extinguished despite the fact that elections are held, despite the fact that many people voted for and wanted to have people of enlightenment and of reason. And people 8 years ago voted their hopes, voted for a better century, voted for more participatory democracy. But just having elections doesn't make something a democracy. Because if the great powers can limit the choices and narrow the field, can you call it a true democracy? Can a nation that is so split along such a great divide ever come together again? Well, if history is a guide, and history is usually a guide, this nation has a great history, has gone through many cycles, and there's an underlying culture that should give us some sense of hope. But what will happen to the great people in the great nation of Persia, I really don't know. You didn't think I was talking about some other place, did you? Well, I wasn't, because that doesn't fit the description of what's going on in America. It's easy to take the surface story and become frightened by it. It's as easy for the left to see black helicopters fixing elections as it is for the right to find black helicopters going and stealing away the weapons in the middle of the night. But the truth is, we won. Whoever you voted for, we won. There was an election held. People showed up in record number. People showed up with passion and with caring, and they participated. Democracy won. Was there cheating? Sure. There are no perfect systems. You don't get 116, 118 million people doing anything without some cheating, some inefficiency. But despite the emails that I am getting about how it was fixed and how it was hacked and all of those other things, democracy has some great strengths. Democracy also has a couple of problems from time to time. It was that great philosopher Tom Lehrer who said, and I don't except the premise, but it's important nonetheless because I like folk music. But he said that the problem and the reason that folk music was so terrible is it was written by the folk. That's the essential problem with democracy. It's the people. It's what the people want. It's what the people need. It is so easy to look at the analysis of this last election and say, oh my God, this is a house divided and we cannot stand. We are all red and we are all blue and it is just a divide past which we cannot go, a bridge that we cannot build to each other because we speak completely different moral languages. I have to tell you, I think that's nonsense. It's easy nonsense. It's simple nonsense, but I think that it is nonsense. Not that there isn't truth to part of it, But when you look at those red and blue states, how simplistic can you possibly be? There are people in blue states who vote red, precincts that vote red. There are precincts in Orange County that vote Democratic and in Marin County that vote Republican. We are a complex nation that when you take the winner-take-all electoral college map, gives you the idea of radical extremes. It may be true of the activists in the various parties. It is not true of the people. I did a wedding yesterday, and the wedding party consisted of Marxist semi-Trotskyites from New York, and Reagan Republicans who, for whom George W. was not conservative enough. It was a lovely wedding. It was a lovely reception. And you know something? People talked politics. And nobody got hurt. They didn't necessarily agree about anything other than that they cared, and that they had thought through things, and that they treated each other not like big red or blue blobs, but like complex people who don't pass and should not be subject to a single single simple litmus test on one or two issues. They saw each other as more complex, and frankly, they saw themselves as more complex. This is not unusual in America. We have these great and easy divides. Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? And I, of course, wonder how it was that the Republicans got red when red used to be the lefty color, and Democrats got blue. Well, I understand why Democrats are blue today, but that's today. The world doesn't fall down into those easy categories. In some ways, we are far more complex, and in some ways, the American electorate is pretty simple. Not simple-minded, but simple. I don't believe now, and I have never believed, that America is an ideologically driven nation. I believe that we are a pheromonically driven nation, that we respond with our like and our dislike chemically, if you will, to candidates. It's the only explanation I can come up with that there were many Democrats and people who did not agree with Ronald Reagan, who voted for him, if they were Californians four times, and if they were not Californians twice. They didn't agree with him, but they liked him. And they liked him because they believed, and we can argue later whether or not it's true, he told the truth. He said, "Here I stand, this is what I believe," and they liked it. There are people in this very congregation, and you know who you are, who like John McCain. And when told that he is fairly hawkish, well, more hawkish than W, and anti-choice, the reaction is almost always, "I know, but there's still something about him that I like. It's the cut of his jib." Never really understood what that meant, but I understand the reaction that chemistry trumps ideology for most people. Now, we want to blame the victims. People are looking at this election and saying, "It's the evangelicals! They mixed religion and politics! That religious right, religion has no business being involved!" I spent the 60s being religiously involved in politics. My question is not my complaint about the religious right, but where is the religious left? What happened to the religious left that marched in Selma, that was with Dr. King, that got tear gas, that got hauled away? It can appear again if people are willing to have organizing principles that are greater than one single, simple litmus test. My objection, and it was not the evangelicals, they voted in a slightly higher percentage this time for Republican candidates than before, but this wasn't so much about the great issues. It was about how people perceived in their hearts the candidates. Am I about to blame the victim? Yes. So stay tuned. I'm about to blame the victim. America almost always elects the guy, so far, with the sun in his face, with the optimism, whether it's feigned or not, who speaks the language of the people. The majority of Americans believed that Bush, as he portrayed himself, was closer to Bush as he is than whatever it was that Kerry was portraying. Somebody, you all know the beer test. With whom would you rather have a beer? Well, since W is not supposed to have beer, I guess that's not really a fair question. But some wag put it this way. After the funeral, do you want to go home with the preacher or with the mortician? Now, I hope I haven't insulted any either preachers or morticians here. But you know what that means. You know that it means that a careful and nuanced response that is intellectual is not quite as attractive as even a simple, here I stand. You might like it, you might not like it, but that's who I am, deal with it, has a certain kind of cutting through the Gordian knot in an otherwise complex world. And it is a mistake of both tactics and ethics, in my view, to assume that people who vote in a way different from the way that you may have voted and I may have voted are ignorant and bigoted yokels. Because in a lot of the email that I've gotten, and I have gotten email since Tuesday with such desperation and depression, and people saying, I mean, this has been one of the great kind of clinical pastoral experiences of my life, with people saying, save me! Save me! I am lost! I am adrift! My reason for living has gone. The lights have gone out. I am awful. I am miserable. I am scared. And it's all their fault out there. That's a slight overreaction, if understandable. I mean, I can't really give it a diagnostic label because my wife came home Wednesday, went immediately to bed and pulled the covers over her head and turned the electric blanket up to 9 and, you know, and assumed the fetal position. I know that there's a lot of that going around, but this was not the smart people against the idiots. When you think it's the smart people against the idiots, yeah, I know, Bill. You can disagree with me. When you think it's the smart people against the idiots, you confirm what the conservatives and what middle America believes, that the elite coasts believe. You buy into this bifurcated nation, this kind of Pakistan before it was severed and was on two parts, on two sides of Bangladesh and Pakistan. This bifurcated coastal nation with Jesus land in the center, it's just not true, and they are just not stupid hicks, and you really don't want to confirm their deep suspicion that we don't respect them. Because it is not crazy to come to other conclusions. We may disagree, but you know something? Just in the way that that wedding had all of those different sides, it's true in many of our own lives and many of our own families. It's true even in this congregation, although some people may be intimidated from outing themselves. It is true that we live in complex society, that our families are as they should be mixed. And we should be able to use this as an example of seeing the good and the complex in various people. I think that we won. My candidate didn't win, but we won. Because the amazing thing was the dog that didn't bark. We had an election that had high turnout, that was passionate, with rhetoric that was as ugly as any that I have heard in my lifetime, and there weren't riots in the streets. Nobody got shot. We are not at war with each other, and that makes us, as it should, the envy of the world. Look, dirty tricks, slash tires, yeah, sure. Bad rhetoric, yeah, sure. But not bleeding in the streets, not revolution, not a country rent asunder between reason and unreason, between science and mullahs. Could that happen? Of course. As John F. Kennedy said, freedom is something that needs to be re-won in every generation. And people need to be attentive to civil liberties, to the great issues, to engage honestly and passionately in political dialogue because it is important. It is about values. Let's not hide from it. It is about values. And liberal values and conservative values are values that need to be confronted one to another reasonably and passionately because they are important. When one side just says to the other, you're stupid and you're bad, that kind of ends the conversation. I don't know how that works for you and your relationships, but when I tell my wife that her ideas are stupid and bad, I get a very close acquaintanceship with the contours of the couch. It's just not a good strategy for being together as a nation, which I believe deeply we are and can be. There's lots to discuss. There's lots to engage. There are a lot of things that I am not happy about, and there are many places where I am extremely, extremely hopeful about the next 4 years. One, it will galvanize people from the other side. After they get over their depression, they'll reengage. Number two, there's a whole different agenda in every president's second term. Every president's second term. First term, you're running for the base. You're running for the money. You're running for re-election from the first day. Second term, you're running for the historians and creating your legacy. And you don't want to abandon the base, and you don't want to abandon it immediately and rhetorically, but it's a different agenda when it is posterity and not the quick, easy, violent political victory that is important. Will that make a wonderful difference in the next 4 years? I don't know. Will things be as bad as many people are horrified in their imaginations thinking about? No. No. And I say no with the confidence of history. Even when he got a mandate and Roosevelt tried to fix the Supreme Court. Any of this sounding familiar? Tried to pack the Supreme Court. Even with that mandate, he was not able to do it. There are checks and balances, and everybody in this room of every political persuasion is a check and balance on the government of the United States. I said last week that the thing that makes democracy democracy, number one, is the rule of large numbers. Large numbers were out there, and whether you do it in that very misleading electoral map that seems to make the nation divided, or you do it just in terms of the numbers, there was a winner. And this, despite all of the passion, despite all of the problems, despite all of the glitches, lots of people showed up, including lawyers who stood by and created billable hours, but we're not in the courts. we're not bleeding in the streets, and democracy worked. That's good. And democracy takes passion, and democracy takes some information and knowledge, and democracy takes belief that there will be another election, that it isn't simply one election and the winner kills the losers and that's the end of the game. The proof that our democracy works is not simply that we're not bleeding in the streets. It is that the next election has already begun, that already the forces of Hillary and Edwards and I've got one more Democrat who's in the mix. You're going to actually make me look at my manuscript? I can't believe that. I haven't done that in years. Who was I thinking of? Page 4. Yeah. I'm sorry. There, of course, silly me. Thank you. Hillary, Edwards, and Dean, and on the other side, Rudy, McCain, and Pataki. The next election's already begun. We're going to have one. That's either good news or bad news, depending on how sick you. The good news is it'll be 3 years before you have all the mailers, and 2 years before you get the solicitation letters for the money. But there will be another election. So for me, not speaking for Unitarian Universalist Association or the 501c3 of this particular organization, my candidate lost. But democracy won. Democracy has always been imperfect. It was very appropriate that we had Greek music today because they invented democracy and they invented an imperfect democracy where only white male citizen property owners were citizens and could vote. It's always been imperfect, but there will be another election that will call upon us. And that is a reason to say yes. That's a reason to be of good cheer. Life will go on. Democracy, as imperfect and flawed as we, the people, will go on as long as we keep passionate attention to it. The way that democracy dies is not by losing elections, it is by losing heart. It is by not voting, thinking the system is not at all amenable to our wills, being impatient and depressed. Staying involved and staying connected is how we say, I can live another 4 years to fight another day. And that's why I am, strangely, of good cheer.